It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
The guy's going to suck in the NFL. He just is. He doesn't have it. I'm just telling you right now, you can smell it.
And we're coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are in the free Odyssey app. Good Friday morning and feel good Friday. I'm going to do my best. This is a real challenge for me. Life is testing me this morning. Can I achieve a feel-good Friday under these circumstances? And Eddie just played the clip of what I think, and I still think, of J.J. McCarthy. Good kid, champion, great in the NFL. It's not going to work out. My team traded up one spot with the New York Jets to select him. So I got to consider if I'm actually going to be a Vikings fan any longer. I don't think there's any point in doing this anymore. It's just stupid. It's a stupid thing to do, is being a fan of that franchise. But whatever. We're going to put that aside for a minute. We'll talk about the other things that sucked last night as I watched the New York Islanders with my own two eyes go down 3-0 to the Carolina Hurricanes. Pure desperation for them. Still couldn't get it done. Sorokin stunk, and that was that. And then, of course, the New York Knicks now are in a series because MVP Embiid showed up on the floor doing good things on the basketball court, but then also did one of the dirtiest things I have seen happen in an NBA game this side of Draymond Green, as he grabs and twists and pulls down Mitchell Robinson, who's made out of papier-mâché to begin with, but still. Now, he's got an ankle issue. It's 2-1. Everything was going so well, man. Like, everything, like, Wednesday was do-a-day. I was going to the game. It was the draft. It was the Knicks 2-0. And I'm sitting here today reevaluating my entire life. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm better than you are. So, just to start off with the draft for a second, the two biggest winners in the draft, in my eyes, and number one is going to be a little bit of a surprise for you.
You're going to say the Falcons?
No, I'm going to say Bill Belichick.
Oh, okay.
Bill Belichick was great on Pat McAfee. He was great.
I only saw the clips.
Yes.
But I didn't see all of it, but I saw the most popular clips, meaning like the Drake May stuff I saw. So, yeah, I mean, he was good.
Just so you know, that's the Bill Belichick that everybody knows behind the scenes.
Like, sure.
There's a personality there. There's somebody who understands every position in the league and is able to succinctly either rip into that person or actually praise that person, or in the case of Drake May, who the Patriots picked, do a 50-50 on him.
Yeah.
You know, like, his footwork's not the greatest. Well, this, you know, I mean, I didn't know whether to laugh or just sit there and enjoy it.
I didn't think that was a 50-50, by the way. I know he's trying to be nice to be a 50-50, but I came out of that thinking that he was going to.
Right, he was slapping around the Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Right. So, which also adds to who he is and what he is, and I thought it was good, and I think I think they announced that he's going to be a part of McAfee, and yeah. I guess he'll be a part of the Manning cast, so he'll be in the ESPN family. But I thought it was refreshing. Like most people, we are all wondering, what are we going to get from the greatest coach of all time? And what we got is the personality that we know of behind the scenes.
Sure.
And if you ever had a couple cocktails with him, if you ever had a beer with him, It's very enlightening. And I saw that personality last night. So that's good. That's really good. Number two, I would say the New York Giants, because the New York Giants were sending up smoke signals left and right about J.J. McCarthy and Drake May. And maybe they did try to trade up.
I believe that they did, yeah.
I think maybe they made a call. I think they probably had some discussions. But at the end of the day, if they can't get the quarterback that they want, we all know what they needed, and they haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver since Odell Beckham Jr., and this guy is as explosive as any wide receiver in the draft. Many felt he could have been the number one wide receiver in the draft. He could have been the three wide receiver in the draft, but at the end of the day, you had three tremendous wide receivers at the top of this draft, and pretty much everybody went chalk until the Falcons took Michael Penix.
Yes, and everything was going the way that I expected. I said that you're going to have those top three guys, but then I thought that the Vikings were going to trade up to four
or the Broncos or the Giants, and then J.J. McCarthy would go there. It didn't happen that way. And it's funny because, you know, that whole Al Dukes in Chicago thing we were laughing at for many reasons. And one of the reasons we were laughing at him is he had Michael Penix going number six to the Giants and thinking this guy's not going to go anywhere near six. And there he was taking it eight by the Atlanta Falcons.
I'll be looking for that big Penix. So Al, why did you say he was going to go six?
Because you like him.
Yeah.
I love this kid.
I was trying to give Al credit here, and you just took all the credit.
No, he basically told the guys in Chicago he thinks the Giants are going to take Penix.
Yeah, I know. Because Boomer liked him. I know.
Yeah, I didn't think the Giants were going to take Penix, but I figured he would be at least a top 20 pick. And I know a lot of people are killing the Falcons this morning, and maybe rightfully so. Who knows? This whole thing is a shot in the dark. You know, half of these players aren't even going to make it.
Right, of course. More than half.
It's insane. And like there was no interest last night until that pick happened. Then all of a sudden, you know, Bill Belichick is, you know, okay, now the draft is the story, because now things are starting to change a little bit. And then, of course, your team goes up to get J.J. McCarthy. And here's the one thing. They're kids. They have no idea what they are about to step into. And they all, just like I did, just like I'm sure Phil did, and everybody who's been drafted, says a lot of stupid things on draft day. Like, you know, Caleb Williams wants to, you know, leave a legacy. You know, okay, great. Until you find out just how difficult it is, and you got to learn this offense, and you got to get out there, and you find out that no longer are you the best athlete on the field. You're going to be playing against some damn good defenses in that division. And then you get slapped in the face. And then it really comes down to, how do you handle that slap in the face? How do you handle that adversity? The other thing, too, I guess the other big winner, I guess you would say, is Daniel Jones here for the Giants.
Yeah. I mean, it's so I love Malik Nabers. He was the guy. I was 1-for-2 on the Jets and Giants picks. I wanted Malik Nabers. The LSU wide receiver pedigree is at an all-time high. And getting that guy, I think, is awesome for the New York Giants. He is going to be a stud right away. You're going to see those jerseys everywhere by midseason, probably even before the season. I think it's a great pick. And I do believe that they did want to trade up. Now, the question is where are you getting the next quarterback? Because I still believe all of the stuff that we were talking about yesterday, that the Giants are done with Daniel Jones from Rich Eisen, Jordan Renan saying they're going to try to trade up to get Drake May. So some of those reports yesterday, I still believe all that's true. I just think that the Giants didn't do something stupid to go up and get the guy and were patient, a la the New York Knicks, who have been patient and didn't do that crazy thing. But they also are done with Daniel Jones. So he's going to have another opportunity this year to stay healthy and play well. And then they have the out at the end of the contract this year. So essentially, he's back in that same exact situation he was prior to signing that contract, where he's playing this entire season in front of a firing squad. So it could work out like it did last time, or it could be a total mess, but he's coming off another major injury. So is he a winner in the sense that he is now the undisputed starting quarterback of the New York Giants in 2024? Yes. But, I mean, is he going to be here past this year?
Yeah, well, it all depends on how he plays, I guess, this year and how he comes back off of this knee injury. The one thing I will say is that Brian Daboll, I want to say around the combine or somewhere in and around there. Now, you never know whether these guys are lying to you or not, but he said that Daniel Jones is our quarterback. I think Joe Shane said that as well. But then again, you know, you have all this smoke coming around, and I'm just wondering, did they really actually try to trade up, or were they just doing that to see if they could get something from somebody else and see if they could trade and, you know, acquire somebody or acquire another pick and still be able to get somebody that was on their radar? So you never really know. Only they know. But I think this is the safe pick. I think most Giant fans are probably going to be really happy with this pick. And then we'll have to go through the Daniel Jones car wash again and see what happens with him.
Yeah.
Now, as far as the Jets are concerned, they need offensive linemen. And since Joe Douglas has taken over, he has tried 50 different ways to fix this offensive line. And the one thing he knows is that he's got older tackles, just like he did last year. And so he drafts this kid out of Penn State, by all accounts, supposedly a good player, could be flexible, go left tackle, right tackle.
Well, he's going to have to be flexible because,
yes.
And he's going to have to start. So Olu Fashanu is the pick. He didn't give up a sack in his entire career in college, and he needs to be versatile. And the reason why is you can't draft this guy number 11 overall in an all-in season and have him standing on the sideline next to Rob Saleh. That's just stupid. So you've got your two tackles in Moses and obviously Tyron Smith, but those guys have a history of being hurt, especially Smith. So that's where he's going to have to step in when Tyron Smith misses 3, 4, 5 games like he always does. He's going to have to step in there, but he's also going to have to start a guard at some point during this season as well. So he's got to learn every position on that offensive line.
He will.
In training camp and in mini camp and everything else. And I'm sure that Joe Douglas, being the offensive lineman that he is, and finding these diamonds in the rough throughout his career. I know he whiffed big time on Mekhi Becton, but still, he knows that about him. So, you know, it wasn't a need, essentially, for them, but this doesn't make any sense. It wasn't a need, but it was. Meaning that, like, they have two starting tackles, but you know those guys aren't making it through the season. So this guy's going to start a tackle at some point during the year.
Yeah, I'm never, look, when they drafted Mekhi Becton, you know, I wanted Tristan Wirfs.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. If you remember,
he's a wrestler, and you love
right,
that.
I love the fact that, you know, when offensive linemen, especially interior offensive linemen, but in this case, Wirfs was a tackle. When they're wrestlers, that means they are dedicated. That means they are disciplined. And there's something about a wrestler, a real wrestler, in college and in high school. You have to be disciplined. And if you're a champion like Tristan Wirfs was, that sets himself apart from everybody else. And it's unfortunate. I don't know what's going to go on with Mekhi Becton. I don't know if they sign him to or bring him back on a lesser deal. I don't know. Who knows?
Get him out.
You can never have enough tackles, and you can never have enough offensive linemen. So I think both teams did what I think most of us expected. I know Brock Bowers was talked about going to the Jets, but I think Joe Douglas felt like he needed to have another offensive lineman. And what's really amazing, and by the way, the other winner in this draft is the city of Detroit. That looked awesome. I read somewhere where there were 150,000 people there.
Yeah, I mean, it reminded me of the Nashville draft and how cool that looked, and so many people showed up. It's an intense, passionate sports city. Obviously, they came off of...
Look at the photos of this.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. They came off a spectacular year with the Lions last year, and you got great NFL fans out there and a fan base that is reinvigorated, and the NFL doesn't miss. We know that.
You know what I understand? I understand there could be reasons to boo Roger Goodell for different reasons, whatever your reasons may be.
Well, it's just a tradition now.
Yeah, I think it is. But I also think that for him, you know, he's the guy and under his tutelage in this office, they're the ones that are moving the draft around.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how the people are responding to that. That's what I call a 100% win.
Yeah, and I was, to be honest with you, I was bummed out because I had the history of the draft in New York when they started moving it around because it was so cool. I just thought it was a tradition, and I went for years and years and years. But, I mean, you can't argue the results here.
You can't. I mean,
everywhere they take it, it's a humongous success. And you nailed it, by the way. Roger Goodell, back surgery.
Yep.
So you were dropping.
I saw him hugging, though.
He was hugging, but
he wasn't doing it like they weren't lifting him off the ground and everything.
I think they shot him up is what they did, a little cortisone shot.
Probably shot him up a little bit, and they probably also told him, take it easy on the commission. He's just coming off a back surgery.
Yeah, because sometimes those guys, like those big linemen, they'll like grab him and squeeze him and pick
really,
him up.
I forget, it was the first big guy that was taken. He kind of went in.
Oh, you're talking about Joe Alt? No, he wasn't there. So it was Latham.
No.
Latham, the kid from Alabama. So the interesting thing, I think he only did, 15 picks, I think.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, there was no real drama. There was no drama at the top of this draft at all. The drama started with your team and the Atlanta Falcons. And I, for one, sit here today, and I hope the Falcons got this right. And I know that Kirk Cousins and his group of people are not happy. Because
you know, I don't necessarily believe that.
No, the agent came out and said.
Yeah, I know the agent did that. Kirk Cousins doesn't get angry about anything.
Well, he would like the team to get better in the short term.
I understand
like some
that.
Sort of like Brock Bowers. He would have loved Brock, but they got Kyle Pitts. But would he have loved Roma Dunze? And by the way, Chicago, exactly. Roma Dunze and Caleb Williams.
Yeah, pretty good. I know.
Whew.
Well, that's why the Vikings GM panicked and went up and got J.J. McCarthy because he's watching every team in the division get better and younger and they're doing nothing but being stuck in the mud.
Well, Vikings also traded up to get an edge rusher.
I do like that guy a lot.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, Dallas. I think he's awesome. And learning about him yesterday and reading about him and how talented he is, I'm all in on him. That's great. But when you've got a quarterback who's not going to make it and is essentially...
Well, you don't know that.
Christian Ponder or AJ McCarron or one of those guys.
Stop, man. I can't believe you're poo-pooing on this guy's dreams.
I'm not poo-pooing on his dreams.
He's
got an opportunity ahead of him. I just don't...
That's a great place for a young quarterback to go. Minnesota is a good team. I love the head coach. He's a former quarterback. It's a great place for a young kid to go. And this kid really seems like he's dedicated and he's smart. Plus, hopefully, they don't have to start him. Let Sam Darnold start, see how it goes.
I mean, do you hear yourself?
I know.
I feel like this is an argument I have with Gina, and I'm like, I'll stop in the middle. I'll be like, do you actually listening to what you're saying right now? Do you hear yourself?
I think it's a good place to go. They got plenty of offensive talent. And much like Caleb Williams, he's going to step into a place where, you know, there should be success there, especially with the head coach.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
Yeah, I mean,
and I can't
I'll watch it from afar because I think I'm done. I think this was it. This broke me. Remember when Al asked me the other day, he's like, what was the thing that broke you as a Mets fan? You went from super passionate to not. And I said them blowing it in the last game at Chase Stadium and 2 years in a row and that whole thing, that sad ending and the doors closing and Seaver and Piazza and then all of that. I think this is the moment now, 10 years down the road when someone says, what was the moment that you finally broke you with the Minnesota Vikings? And I'll say it was cumulative, but the thing, the straw that broke the camel's back was trading up one spot with the Jets to select J.J. McCarthy. A guy who wasn't even thought about as a first-round pick until like 2 weeks ago.
Until Jim Harbaugh said people are going to meet the kid and he's going to be a first-round pick. Do you remember that?
Right. I mean...
And he said top 10, and he landed on number 10.
And I guarantee...
How about Jim Harbaugh?
I guarantee you that they got duped by the Bronco, or that Joe Douglas played the Vikings GM, Kwesi Adolfo-Manso, like a fiddle. I guarantee he did. And he was like, hey, I'm getting calls from everybody here.
Well, they had to get up in front of Denver.
Yeah,
Denver ended up with Bo Nix.
Right, but I'm telling you that they probably like Bo Nix more than J.J. McCarthy, and they could have stayed at 11 and taken him, and Joe Douglas was like, oh, man, I could just, you know, big old Joe Douglas just playing my idiot GM. Like a ukulele. Going, I'm getting calls left and right about this J.J. McCarthy, and then they trade a bunch of picks to move up one spot when they didn't need to.
Maybe he'll turn out to be C.J. Stroud. You never know.
Man, I I'm in at the Islander game, and I'm just like, when that happened, I just started turning on everybody. Like, I was like real happy and like talking to people. And then after that, I was turning.
It's tough when you want to go to a game and you got to sit in a suite.
No. It was awesome. They were great. But I'm just saying, like, there was a moment last night that, like, the Islanders are down, the Knicks are down, the Vikings take McCarthy, and I'm just sitting there, and like everybody in the box is not happy too because they're watching their team about to go down 3-0.
Yeah.
And I was just like, and I have to, you know, then you have to check yourself. Be like, listen, you're having a good time.
It's sports.
Everything's good.
It's sports.
It's sports. My man Carlos there, who, by the way, the guy who is works in that box and makes the drinks.
Yeah.
I can tell.
He did a good job last night.
His dream is to have you in there and make you a Casamigos. And he goes, I will make him the best Casamigos drink of all time.
I'm sure he will. Looks like you did a good job. Real quick, Kevin and Bayonne, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, what's going on, Kevin?
Kevin from Bayonne, first time caller, long time listener.
All right, okay.
Hey, Gio,
yeah.
I want to talk to you about something.
Sure.
You said you're ready to give up on your Minnesota Vikings.
I am, yep.
All right. How long have you been a Viking fan?
The first season that I vividly remember, I was 12 years old. It was 1994 that I would say that was the first year I was really into it. So now we're talking about it's 30 years now.
All right, 30 years. I've been a Dolphins fan since 1984 when Marino came on the scene. That's 40 years. Mm. I haven't seen a Super Bowl either. I haven't given up on my team. I don't think you only get one team. You can't give up on Minnesota, bro.
Yeah, don't give up on them, man. You know,
I mean, like, Kevin,
Kev's a
like,
solid guy. Do not give up on your team.
Everybody's different, though. You
Eddie,
know,
like, Eddie loves his Dolphins. You know, I played in the Bermuda Triangle
out a long time ago.
You know, what can I tell you?
Eddie tapped out on the Dolphins a long time ago.
No, I still root for him.
He loves Tua.
He doesn't care if they win or lose anymore, man.
No, I do.
Come on.
Not as much.
Tua! I do.
I just think it's time. You know how John Sterling was like, it's time? I feel like that with the Vikings. It's over.
Boomer's right. You may have drafted a guy you don't like, but you do have Sam Darnold at quarterback.
When he said that.
Yeah.
Yes?
Big Phoenix energy. Yeah. Remember that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you know when it's time. It's time. Don't feel that way.
No, it's time. No, I feel like time. John, it's a perfect analogy. When John Sterling just woke up one day and was like, I can't do it anymore. That's the way I feel about my Vikings fandom. I just can't. It's just so stupid. Like, it's just so, they just can't ever get it right. It's the dumbest decision I ever made in my life to be a Minnesota Vikings fan.
All right, so you're screaming and yelling right now. All I want to know is, what was the alternative? What did you want them to do?
Not take a guy that was going to set them back for 5, 6, or 7
years.
Okay,
all right, so
anything.
But what did you want them to do with their 2 first-round draft picks?
When I say anything,
yeah.
But take a quarterback or trade up and do that, I mean anything.
So you were good with Sam Darnold going into the season then?
No, I hated that too. They blew it before that. They blew it with Kirk Cousins. They screwed that up. They should have kept him there.
So you wanted to pay Kirk Cousins $40 million a year, so
yeah.
you couldn't afford Justin Jefferson.
Okay, figure it out. You got cap guys, you're so smart, I don't care.
We sit here as fans sometimes.
I mean,
and we scream and yell about things.
Okay, so if you're going to let him go, then do a better job of replacing him.
Man,
as opposed to J.J. McCarthy and Sam Darnold. Okay, if you're going to let him go if you're going to pay Justin Jefferson over him. But don't come back with Sam Darnold and J.J. McCarthy.
But you have to remember that he also blew out his Achilles.
Kirk Cousins, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Look, Carlos did a hell of a job last night. I could tell. Did a hell of a job.
Hey.
5 stars for Carlos.
Listen, man.
I can't imagine
it's
you driving back
Friday.
To Sava last night on the Southern State Parkway.
Yeah, so I was with a friend of mine,
Jamie,
and his son, Kieran. And Kieran drove us. And it was funny because it was just like, you're leaving. You're upset the Islanders lost. And, you know, Kieran didn't put the directions into his GPS because the dad was going to tell him what to do. So everybody's like quiet in the car and like just upset that the Islanders lost. And then, so the dad's like, listen, I'll just tell you where to go. Don't put it in the GPS. It's fine. So then like, he's quiet, scrolling through his phone. And he just starts pointing at the where to go. He just like points. And then, so the kid's like,
he's nervous.
He's nervous.
He's got a big star like you in the car
right.
with him.
So he's nervous.
You were with Dua Lipa this week.
Right.
Think about the way he sees you. And you were with Dua Lipa.
So he's like, he's grabbing the thing. And then the dad's just like scrolling the phone and pointing. And then finally the kid snaps. He's like the nicest kid in the world. Said like 10 words all night. And then he turns to his dad. He goes, words! I need words! Tell me where to go! I need words! It was awesome. I was like, everybody just got broken down last night at some point. I need words!
That's what happens when your team drafts a quarterback at number 10. That's what happens when your basketball team loses and Embiid shows up as an MVP.
Yeah, Jerry's going to tell us.
Unfortunately, the hockey team you're playing against, I keep telling you, is... It's they're one of the 4 best hockey teams in the NHL, and they're playing like it.
Yeah, buckle up because you're going to see them next. Boomer and Geo on the Fan at CBS Sports Network.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Let's get right to Jerry here because he's got a lot of stuff for us. That we were late and we were screaming and doing draft stuff and everything else. So, Jerry, what's happening, man?
We are brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human grade dog food delivered right to your door, and brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Big night. Pick your poison. Which one do you want? You want the NFL draft? You want the Knicks first?
We should do the Knicks.
You want the Knicks first. Okay. Yeah. So let's get to the Knicks first. Obviously, this was a big play early in this game, as we'll hear from Spiro on TNT, because we don't have the MSG call, but we'll get to that in a moment.
Hart sets the table underneath Anunoby on the block. Contact with Embiid. Shovel pass. Robinson is bumped, but look out. I don't think Robinson appreciated the pull down from Embiid.
Well, no. Why would you? You go up for a shot and you get pulled down from behind. Not smart, not good, and not clean either. A flagrant one, not a flagrant two.
Microphone.
That is unbelievable when you see it.
Yeah. It's worse when you see it, actually.
And I do think that Gio's right. I mean, it doesn't seem like much. But when you're that big and you have already had ankle and foot issues.
It's dangerous.
It's dangerous.
It is. That was part of Joel Embiid's 50-point night. That kind of marred it a little bit, though.
Man,
they did
win. His 3-point shooting last night was ridiculous.
Remember what I said yesterday? I'm pulling a U here, but I'm going to do it anyway. Remember what I said yesterday?
I said
what I need to know is he capable of having one of these 50-point Joel Embiid MVP nights? And if I see that, then they're in trouble. If not, they'll be good, and this is what happened.
19 of 21 from the line.
Dude, he had a good night.
Good night.
Did anybody actually think the Knicks were going to sweep him?
Yes.
I think people did think that.
Guys got to be like, that's a prideful player. That's an MVP player.
Well,
that's a guy who said, we're going to win the series. I'm not saying they're going to win the series. I still think the Knicks are going to win the series, but I'm just telling you, it's not going to be easy.
Well, he is now on his way, Joel Embiid, to having the second greatest sports guarantee behind Joe Namath.
Three wins away from that.
First of all, he's in Philadelphia, so that doesn't count. That doesn't count at all. You got to be in New York.
Trying to be in New York.
I'm sure guys have done it.
Yeah,
but we haven't paid attention.
But, I mean, Namath and Embiid, those would be the two.
Messier went in and scored a hat trick.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
You know, against a rival in a game that was, losing, you're out.
Number three.
Yeah. Okay.
Speaking of names, I'd like to congratulate MSG on a new hire during the game last night. Mike apparently was not there.
Mike Breen wasn't there?
No, apparently this was Mike Green on MSG.
Has
put into our system.
Oh, come on.
Brunson trying to guard Lowry.
Oh, it's Mike.
Lowry back up top. Embiid shoots over Brunson. Oh, he hits another. Just red hot shooting from the big man. 5 of 7 from 3-point range. He's got 41.
That's Mike Green on MSG.
All right.
And here's the best part. It's spelled G-R-E-E-N-E.
Oh, my God. Now, I don't want to kill these young kids. I really don't. They're working hard. It's not a lot of money. But, I mean, come on. For the love of God. Like, I was in that situation at one point. You were in that situation at one point.
Sure were.
I mean, would you have ever put in Skin Bully?
No.
The voice of the Dodgers?
No, I would not have.
I mean, what?
It would not have been John Herling.
I mean, you learn, you know these things.
Yeah.
Well, is that the brand ambassador that has to handle that? I mean, who handles that?
Oh, I don't know. I was just having fun with it.
It seems like you're throwing somebody under the bus, and I just want to know.
No.
Who do we tar and feather? Who do we fire? Who do we get rid of?
I don't think we're doing any of that.
It's just.
God, that'd be fun.
If I walked in, the first thing I was greeted with was, Mike Breen did do the game. I'm like, well, it was Jay, Amy's producer. I'm like, yeah. He goes, well, when you look in the folder, apparently it's some guy by the name of Mike Green.
That's just really bad.
Yeah, I think it's just
really bad.
How close is the B to the G on the... on the keyboard.
Not close at all. I mean,
they're right next to each other.
I suppose. All right, but he spelled Green. Breen is B-R-E-E-N. He spelled Green with an E at the end.
Oh, that's wrong. That is definitely wrong.
I mean, just
it's funny.
How do you get...
You got to fire that kid.
No,
we're not saying
don't
that.
Don't go extreme.
I just don't know how you get in this building. It's funny. You don't know who Mike Breen is.
I mean...
He is the
other, unless you're Al Dukes.
I was going to say in 2007, there's no chance I knew who Mike Breen was.
I do agree, though, if you're getting into sports radio, Mike Breen is the premier NBA broadcaster. He's the lead broadcaster for the NBA.
I mean, he's essentially when we were interns.
He's Marv.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Yes.
I worked with Marv. Marv Talbert.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you a question. I mean, you bring it up. We're talking about it a lot. It sounds like you want to get somebody fired. That's what it sounds like to me.
Just try to have some fun with it. That's all.
Okay.
Don't want to get anybody fired. Okay. We just want things
but
to
be right, frankly, handles I don't care all that much.
But it's just hilarious.
Hey, Al, who handles the quality control around here?
I would say that might fall under David Marinac.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to corner him today.
I think Dove is a quality control guy, too.
Dove is down and out right now.
Is he?
I heard yesterday he injured himself, yes.
Well, I knew it was Passover.
Yeah, he's out for Passover anyway.
No, I was told it goes beyond that. He's injured.
It's Passover. What are you doing?
He's injured.
Injured himself during his time away here?
I don't know when it happened, but I was told he is out injured.
Did he step on a curb or something?
I heard missed a step or something.
Yeah, there you go.
God.
And fell down the stairs?
Something like that.
Oh,
that's not good.
I just heard this yesterday.
Wow. Okay. Well, we're going to have to reach out and see if he's all right.
We should.
Because I love Dove.
You got his number. Call him.
I am. I'll do it. You want me to call him right now? I'll call him right now.
He's got kids. He's probably up. Here was Tom Thibodeau. Why wasn't that a flagrant two on Embiid? By the way, 125-114 was the final.
I think they have a pool reporter, don't they? That might be a good question for him.
Yeah, probably so. Then you asked the other head coach, Nick Nurse, what did you think of the foul?
We thought the flagrant at the beginning. I mean, we were a little worried that it could have been like a flagrant two with that way to have across your mind at all.
I mean, tackle.
I didn't even look at it. Sorry. I didn't see it.
You know what?
What a liar.
Dante DiVincenzo was right in his face.
I can't stand this guy.
He was busy calling timeout.
Right, exactly. I didn't see it. I was trying to get a timeout. What a loser. I mean, he's come across, and I understand he's not a loser because he actually was a head coach of a championship team, but, like, he has come across as a major loser in this series. Baby loser.
Yeah.
I mean, are you kidding? I didn't see it. Shut up.
Right. 20,000 people saw it, and everybody watching at home saw it.
You got to like Dante DiVincenzo getting in his face, though.
Well, I mean, exactly. That's the stuff that you want to see. And you know that they will bring that toughness to every game. But this series now, like, it felt intense. Last night, the whole new kettle of fish now, as they say.
Yeah. But this is the nightmare scenario of every fan of every team in the playoffs to lose a significant player to an injury. That's the thing that can throw the whole thing off.
And video shows him walking out in a walking boot. So, not good. Not good. But you do have some extra time because game four isn't until Sunday in Philadelphia. The Nuggets beat the Lakers 112-105. Magic easy over the Cavaliers 121-83. I'll just give you a couple here from the NFL draft. Number one, we'll give you some reaction on the Giants taking this kid Malik Nabers out of LSU, the wide receiver. And by reaction, I mean one from Bill Belichick on McAfee.
There's so much to like about Nabers. I think this kid he's a very, very competitive player, number one. He wants the ball. He wants to be aggressive with the ball. He's a smart player, and he can do a lot of things. He can play inside. He can play outside. He's very, very tough to cover.
What happened with the no hugging?
Well, they're hugging, but not quite as physical.
Okay. I thought we were getting some pounds, but instead a little soft hug, not a bro hug.
They were told soft hugs.
Soft hugs. So that was Bill Belichick on McAfee, loves Nabers. Then you've got Aaron Rodgers on McAfee talking about the Jets. How do I pronounce this? Is this Olufashinu?
I think so.
Because other people are saying Fashanu. I thought it's Fashanu.
I had heard Fashanu, but I'm sure we'll learn the correct pronunciation at some point.
So here was Aaron Rodgers.
They call him Mike Green, though. His friends do. His friends call him.
Mike Green.
No, they don't. Here was Aaron Rodgers' initial reaction to the pick of this offensive tackle from Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, we already made three moves in the offseason with Green and John to play guard, and Morgan to play tackle, and Tyron to play tackle as well. So it wasn't necessarily the top of the needs.
And so at first, it doesn't sound like he's thrilled about it, but then you listen more to him, and he realizes the pick they made is a pretty good pick.
Olu is a mauler, and he had an incredible career at Penn State.
And supposedly didn't give up a sack
his
entire career.
That's what that was out there. Yeah.
That is pretty good. And then I'll save the...
So that happens when you throw the ball 12 times a game.
Ha! Fair enough.
Yeah.
I'll save the Kirk Cousins Atlanta stuff for next hour, but I'll make you feel a little bit better about your pick.
Mm.
At least the Vikings got a guy that wants the Vikings. This is Kevin O'Connell on J.J. McCarthy.
You know, we really wanted to be a Minnesota Viking, and I know there's, you know, hopefully as excited as our fans are, they can know that J.J. McCarthy really wanted to be a Minnesota Viking, and he cannot wait to get here and get to work.
I thought he wanted to be a Giant.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah.
That's supposed to make you feel better?
I mean, is it like... Honestly,
I don't know.
Like that's the spin from the head coach. Like he wanted to be here.
That's what they're selling.
You know,
right
the
now.
NFL's all about making dreams come true.
Yeah, or having them crushed every single year because you picked the wrong team to root for.
I am so rooting for this kid now. I can't even begin to tell you how much I am rooting for him.
Good. I mean, you can be a Viking fan.
Maybe
now,
I will. But
I'm out. Tapping out.
It is just amazing, though, that the guy that Eddie's got on tape that you saying is going to be a colossal failure goes to your team, not the Giants.
I mean, it's and how about me slamming Daniel Jones for his entire career and then him playing the game of his life against the Vikings in
their
building?
It's not only that he had a good season, he wraps it up with your team.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, this is just the stuff that happens.
Yeah,
the guy's going to suck in the NFL. He just is. He doesn't have it. I'm just telling you right now, you can smell it.
You did meet Dua Lipa, though.
Holy crap.
What the Cowboys do?
They took the offensive tackle Guyton out of Oklahoma, I think.
Okay, yeah.
So they slid down. They got a couple of extra picks, and they took him. Supposedly liked him a lot. Yeah, well, they've done really well with the offensive line.
They have done a good job with the offensive line.
The A's beat the Yankees 3-1. Tonight they're in Milwaukee. The Mets are home for the... What's the matter?
I don't know. Nothing.
That they lost to the A's? No? Yeah.
They split with the A's.
Yes, they did. Mets over the Cardinals tonight. You got J.D. Martinez expected in the lineup. And yes, the Islanders now down 3-0. G was there. They lost 3-2 to the Hurricanes. Game 3, Rangers Capitals tonight.
Yeah, speaking of the Mets and Islanders, so last night in the box, there were several current New York Mets there. Sean Manaea was there. Drew Smith was there. Brandon Nimmo was there. And I was feeling really good about the Islanders winning until they showed up. I was like, oh, God, the Mets are here. They're going to screw this whole thing up. They're just going to really... Now it's an Islander game with New York Mets here, and I'm here, and I'm a mush. We got no shot. No shot of winning. And we didn't.
They lost.
And yeah. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan at CBS Sports Network. We're coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio. Yes, Eddie.
Is he going to say it or not say it? Did he forget?
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So they did put me up on the big board again yesterday at the Islander game, and they used a picture of me from 2018, and I was 50 pounds heavier.
Why didn't they use the picture of you and Dua Lipa?
I don't know. Maybe they came up with this and had this all ready to go before the Dua Lipa thing, so they put up this thing. And it was basically this picture of me from... They probably used that because they knew I would hate that picture. It was like the worst picture I've ever taken. Though that's a good picture right there.
Oh, that's a really
good picture. CBS Sports Network.
If you could just wipe out the upstairs show.
Yeah, man, I know.
You got two models standing next to each other.
Oh, my goodness. I could just look at that for the rest of the show. Just sit here and not say anything and look at that picture. Anyway. All right, so...
Yes.
Now,
by the way, did you crop out the other three people in that picture?
Yeah, of course you did. Yeah, of course me? Yeah, they're out.
Out.
See ya.
Score!
All right. Okay. So, what the hell was I just saying? Oh, yeah. The box, the whole thing. What was I saying?
They put a picture of you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The picture of the... Yes. So, 2018, and the bit that they did was, like, me texting, like, drunk texting Ledecky. And then asking if I could go to the game. And then Ledecky saying back, is Sal coming? And then me being like, no. And then like, well, I don't know. You got to bring Sal. And then it was just a funny thing. And they put me on the thing and said, you know, Sal's tag along on the thing and everything else.
I'll tell you what, the Islanders get it. You know what I mean? From that standpoint, they totally get it. I mean,
and of
course, though, they're down 2-0 when this happens, which is exactly what I didn't want to happen.
Yeah.
So there was just, there wasn't boos. There was just like no reaction. Generally, you get some reaction. And a bunch of Islander fans that were in the building tweeted me and they said, listen, we're just pissed off. Like, we're just quiet. We love you, but we're quiet. Yeah. But so then I have no idea who's around me at this time that the camera's on me. And I turn around afterwards. And there's somebody sitting there and goes, oh, did a great job. And I was like, yo, thanks. And then I recognize who it is, and it's Julie Stewart Binks.
Remember? Yes, from SNY, of course, yes. Yeah.
Fox Sports 1. She was the Mike Francesa when he went to Fox Sports 1, would have her in and, like, you know, pretended that he made her career.
I want to say maybe it was about 5 years ago. I think we were supposed to play hockey against her.
Oh, really?
I think she's a hockey player.
She's a huge hockey person.
Yeah. And I think she offered for the Wasps to play against one of her teams or something. I forget. And then COVID, I think, is what upset that whole thing. Yes.
So I'm familiar with her career. She's on SNY. She was on with Barstool for a little bit. So she's a huge Maple Leafs fan, right? Huge, diehard Maple Leafs fan. And has hated on the Islanders throughout her media career.
She should be hating on the Boston Bruins.
Well, she does too. But, like, she's always crapped on the Islanders.
Okay.
And this is something that I remember. You know how, like, you're a fan of a team and there's a guy who craps on your team, you know, man, whoever in media, and you're like, that guy's always crapping on my team.
Yes.
So it was always in my head that she crapped on the Islanders. So I turn around. She goes, hey, Julie Stewart Binks. And guess what's going on? Islander jersey. With her name on the back of it. John Ledecky.
Again.
Yeah. John Ledecky did it again.
Yes.
This is what he does.
You can't let him. It's like I could never let him do that. As much as I admire him and appreciate what they do for you guys and how they promote their community involvement, and they always have a tough, good team.
Yeah.
Good for you guys. But yeah. I do not want to be a part of that.
But he gets everybody. He got Morash. He got Sal. He gets everybody.
Not me.
He hasn't gotten you yet.
No.
But
he's very nice. He always comes over and says hello if I'm in the building.
Yeah.
But he's not getting me.
Yeah. So I looked at her. I said, I got to tell you something. You are a fraud. You are a straight up fraud. I remember you crapping on the Islanders. And she's like, you know what? You're right. I got completely sucked into this whole thing. They invited me. I got the jersey. You know, now I'm an Islander person. So that's what they do.
Well, by the way, Boston's beating her Toronto Maple Leafs again. That's why.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, and the Maple Leafs are just one of those franchises. But yeah, so he had, Ledecky had the Brandon Nimmo jersey, gave Nimmo a jersey, Manaya jersey, Drew Smith a jersey, everybody had all their stuff on. He just rolls out the red carpet. He does an amazing
job.
He's
promoting his product and he loves doing it, and I appreciate it because that's the way it's supposed to be done.
And I ran into Chris Hogan, by the way,
yep.
Former New England Patriot. A Long Island lacrosse legend.
And he hits a golf ball 350 yards, yes.
Yes, but in his short game's terrible. So, is what somebody told me.
I think I'm playing with him in a few weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you see, so after I'm up on the big board, I get a text from our buddy Craig Currier. He goes, hey, is Hogan in that box? And I look around, there's a million people in there, and I see him. He goes, go up to him, tell him he's the worst one handicap in America.
You know, it's amazing. It's just like how everybody's intertwined.
Oh God!
It's you got people leeching off of people. You got shiv spots. You got all sorts of stuff going on.
Yeah, it's true. I would say that. I would say there was, but last night was. I didn't feel like there was much of a leech spot.
I'm just saying you have immersed yourself into Long Island golf like I've never seen. Like you've been playing golf for what 2 years now?
Yeah,
you are immersed in every aspect of Long Island golf to the point where you are, you know, the Michael Jordan of superintendents, Craig Currier.
Yeah, yeah.
And you are texting during the hockey game.
Yeah.
And he wants to know whether or not the worst one handicap in golf is sitting in the booth with you, in the box with you.
Right. And then I ran into Frankie Borelli and Stu Finer, by the way, of Barstool. And I thought that's because Stu's a maniac. There's the picture from last night. So yeah. Stu and I are good now after we had our beef a couple years ago. And there's Frankie. So Jay, who is Ledecky's assistant, goes, he's like, hey, you know the Barstool guys? And Frankie and Stu Finer. I was like, Stu Finer's coming in here? And because you see Stu Finer on social media, the guy is a complete maniac, you know? So I'm thinking he's capable of anything, like taking his shirt off, screaming, yelling, all these things. But he could not have been on it. He was just on his best behavior.
Well, you're in the owner's box. That's
yeah,
the way
but he's
it
a guy
be.
That like pushes the limits wherever he goes.
Nah, he's not a dummy. That's for sure.
Yeah. So he.
I see you had your hand on his shoulder.
Yeah.
You guys were close again.
Yeah, they were close again. We hated each other for a while. Now we're close.
So, all right. So let me ask you a question. As we get ready for Game 4 for the Knicks, and I'm going to talk about the Rangers a little bit later on. But
yeah, this is your tease.
Right, exactly. I want to talk about Jalen Brunson and his performance last night.
Perfect. We will do that coming up next.